Welcome back to Two Shots In Podcast. We're happy to announce probably the most monumental guest I've had in years. And we've only been doing this for a few months. Mr. James Reeves.
Thank you for having me.
So for people that don't know you, and I don't know why the fuck they'd be watching us don't know you, but how would you describe yourselves to our listeners?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, they can't see anything, right? So
Sexy.
Oh, we have it on camera. Okay, well, then that explains
audio
itself.
Audio, video, son. Yeah. We might only have three mics, but we got
I know. Yeah, you guys sharing a microphone over here. I'm surprised that you have any. I mean, did you guys make sure this son of a bitch is working?
We used to have cups and string, but we fucking dialed that bitch up since then.
No, man. I'm just a gun enthusiast who got caught up in this, and I'm an attorney and a husband and a cat father.
So why... Do you think that it's strange that you've gained so much popularity on YouTube? I mean, you left out a huge part of your biography, which is that you have, over a million subscribers on YouTube. You do two different YouTube channels. It pulls massive downloads. Are you confused by that at all?
I mean, I'm not confused, but I was surprised. Like, yeah, I'm totally surprised. I mean, I've got... I don't think I do anything particularly clever. I'm not sure I have anything to offer over anybody else. Like, there are a bunch of good content creators out there who have a shockingly low amount of subscribers, followers, whatever the case may be. But, you know, here it is by the whim of the algorithm, I suppose, that somehow, we've got 1.1 million subscribers after 6 years. And it's been fun, man. I mean, maybe that's what it is. I have fun. Like, I enjoy it. I'm genuinely enthusiastic. I mean, I know you guys are pissed off because I started this thing late because I was down there on the range making content, you know, and that's why I'm wearing this stupid tuxedo, by the way. I'm doing a video on the PPK, you know, the Bond movie's coming out, whatever. So we were down there having fun. I am genuinely excited about the content that I make, and I think maybe that's the difference.
So when I heard you were coming on, I did... a ton of research, probably more than my wife would like me to have done. All she heard through our little box that I keep near the shower when I take a shower and listen to podcasts is you. So she's probably...
Well, it'd be really weird if y'all that's ever meet. All you heard.
Right.
Had the box going.
That'd be a fucking problem. But we... you're very articulate, and it seems like you do more... a more eloquent job of... describing firearms, and do you pre-plan all of that and then turn it into a video, or do you just go off the cuff? And
it just depends on the content. So, like, if it's something that I already know a ton about, then at that point I can pretty much go off the cuff. Like, I always do, like, I'll film my B-roll. Everybody who's watched the channel, they know that I film the B-roll first.
We film the C-roll first, and then we play.
No, you guys are filming the F-roll right now.
And then we do the D-roll.
Yeah, we're sharing a microphone over there. Ghetto operation.
Shit, this is a shit show. but we love it.
But I film the B-roll first. You know, I like to shoot the gun, see what it does, and, you know, make commentary on the range. And then after I've had some time to reflect on it, I do my research, which I really enjoy. Like, if anybody has watched, like, recently the Daniel Defense V7, everybody's...
The first video I watched.
Oh, no shit. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I mean, that was a fun one to make. And I went and dug into, like, barrel tests from, like, the 1970s by the U.S. military to kind of test this claim that Daniel Defense was making about their barrels and their barrel life and see how that stacked up against, like, a mil-spec Colt M16 from, like, the 1960s or 1970s, because that was fun for me. Like, I sit around and I'm like, yeah, you know... I want to know, like, how long does a mil-spec M16 last? But then you can't go too far down that rabbit hole because people are like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, we don't care that much about it. Like, am I allowed to curse on here?
Oh, yeah. Tits, right. Ass.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, one of those was a curse word, but I get what you're saying or trying to say.
We show buttholes on here.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on. Now, that sounds like a dare.
No, we don't.
Yeah. So
I've shown a butthole.
No, in any event, I mean, and that's really the challenge, is trying to keep things. There's like a saying that I like by LBJ where, you know, for any given subject, like M16 barrels, you know, you can start talking about M16 barrels for 30 minutes, but it's a lot like pissing down your own leg. You're the only one who thinks it's hot. Right. So you have to kind of keep things concise. You got to keep it interesting to like the average viewer. And that's what I've always tried to do, is kind of seed in maybe like really cool, important details beyond just shit that I'm making up behind a camera, but make it consumable. So that's what I try to do. And I genuinely have a blast. People think I've got Ryan, you know, my camera guy, my hetero life mate, a very good friend of mine.
He's good looking. You could have picked a worse one.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Dude, and he can shoot. It kind of pisses me off because, like, occasionally, he will outshoot me. He is a very good shot, and he's a great camera guy. And occasionally, I'll outshoot him behind a lens, you know? Like, occasionally. We're both photographers, videographers, and shooters.
Well, he worked at a range for a while.
Yeah, yeah, he mm-hmm. did. No, and that's my excuse.
Did you work outside of law, your law degree? Did you work with firearms, or did you police, military?
No, I mean, like, I've gone, so, I mean, how I got into it, I'm, again, you know, try to avoid pissing down my leg.
We met 10 or 12 years
we
ago.
We met, yeah.
When you were doing videos at Shooters Club.
That's right. And that was even before, like, we met 10 or 12 years ago, just about when I became a concealed weapon or concealed handgun instructor here in Louisiana, concealed handgun permit. But when I became an instructor, that's when I started going to Jefferson more. I was going there just for fun, you know, to shoot anytime I got a new gun or whatever. I mean, I thought you guys had the best range.
Did you have to shoot that target at friggin' 15 yards?
Oh, are you talking about the dumpy one downstairs?
No. For the instructor service.
Oh, yeah. I know. And then, dude, you're doing it. I'm not going to say who my instructor was, but none of these motherfuckers hit that thing. Like, none of them do. But no, I was like, I'm not leaving here. Like, I, you know.
45 friggin' feet with a 6-inch group.
Well, they just did it this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How'd you do?
We did it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Like, if you don't know, you're, and it's like,
it was an outdoor range. It was pretty tough. I mean, mm-hmm. Even here practicing every day till we went.
No, it's still like, as we sit here today, like, I would not do that in front of anyone.
My best target is hanging on the wall downstairs.
I saw it.
But yeah, I mean, that's, so you and I go way back, because I was coming in there when you were working behind the counter.
Yeah,
you were just a wee boy.
I was mopping up shit in the bathrooms.
And I'm sorry about that, okay? I get really excited around guns. I said that earlier.
That has happened. So.
Yeah, yeah. Check my tuxedo.
Did you know that you had something back then, or were you just filming yourself?
No. The first time when I actually filmed, I never like casually film myself. The first time I actually filmed a video at Shooters Club was probably 5.5 years ago. It was like one of the first. It was the Kimber Solo Sucks. And that's actually, I had a GoPro and I put it up in the bay, in the shooting bay. And I was like, God, this video is terrible. Like, and at that point, I still was like a pretty decent shot, but it was dim in there and the angle's like up and it's a GoPro, high ISO, a bunch of noise. It just looked terrible. So that's when I was like, I got to find something else out. Like, I mean, it was like, no. It's not a dig on Shooters Club, but it was
so
like,
what video took off? What video was the one that started it all?
I mean, so we had myself and Alex Capps. We co-founded the channel back in 2015, and Alex Capps, his dad has a sizable machine gun collection. So, I mean, I have to lay all the blame at Alex's feet because he had CNRs, machine guns, whatever. And Alex, dude, he would post a video every day. So we got over 100,000 our first year. Mm. And most of that, I mean, and Alex bounced like after the first year and a half. But he laid a very good foundation for the channel. Now, in terms of my content, two that I can think of that really caused the channel to bounce. And we got 150,000 or maybe 200,000 the second year, right? And it's been getting bigger and bigger. But I think that maybe in that second year, big ones for me were, it was a video called 8 Reasons Why the Mini 14 is Better Than the AR-15. And I would not say, and I say that in the video, this exact phrase, I would not say that a Mini 14 is better than an AR-15. I would not. But there are 8 ways that it is, in fact, better. Like, try to find an all-stainless AR-15. Like, if you need a stainless gun for a reason, like, you know, keep on your boat or whatever, You can't do that with an AR. Or if it exists, I'm sure it's really shitty and really expensive. But a Mini 14, you can go downstairs right now and grab a stainless steel Mini 14. So it was shit like that, right? And, you know, but people, I think, were like, oh, you know, I can't wait to tear this guy a new asshole. And then the funny part about it is there were only 7 reasons. I forgot to do the video on the 8th reason. So the video, and I think maybe 2 people found that out. I mean, I think everybody was adequately pissed off within the first 5 minutes of the video. But that one got like 3-4 million views or something. And then when I went, hung out with my buddy Taron Butler and did how to shoot like John Wick. We did like a 3 video series, and those were like multi-millions of views.
Yeah, but there seems like there's a big jump from that to shooting with Taron, who did the John Wick movies.
Yeah, there was. I mean, there was a big jump, but I mean, you just asked me off the top of my head, like 2 that kind of, you know, made things pop.
But I mean, was there one where you realized like this is a... this isn't just a hobby. This is something that I could...
It was early on. Like, early on, there were videos, like, we would do a video. I did one that was, like, Glock 19 versus the Ruger SR9. I think it was my first... Because, see, we started at SHOT Show, and we had access because we are the firearm blog, right? So people were willing to talk to the firearm blog. We had 0 subscribers at SHOT Show. That really was, I think, the big kicker. We had 0 subscribers at SHOT Show. We kicked it off at SHOT Show 2015. And people were like, oh, yeah, firearm blog. Cool. We know you guys. Yeah, we'll talk to you on camera. And if you were just like Joe Blow from wherever, and you know, you just started a YouTube channel, and you're like, hey, Benelli, will you guys talk to me for like 20 minutes on camera? They'd be like, yeah, come back later, kid. You know, but that being part of the firearm blog, I mean, I can't. What I'm trying to say is I can't take responsibility for the channel being where it is. I'll take partial responsibility.
We did, I used to do once a month with ESPN Radio with Don Dubuque, Talking Guns, and that allowed me to kind of talk to people at SHOT Show. But I wasn't any good at it. This was 8 or 10 years ago. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Most of...
And you do now?
No, but I have learned that the fakeness that you get on TV a lot, you know, that radio voice, yeah, the cut to commercials, all that bullshit is going by the wayside. And here, I mean, we can talk about whatever we want. We talk about ghosts and, you know, sex positions and whatever the hell we want to talk about. And there's
what
no
about
commercials.
Sex positions with ghosts.
That's my next question. Yeah. So I think it's.
And we get to shoot shit.
Right. And we get to shoot shit. We blow stuff up. I think it's just a better form of entertainment than, you know, the news, which is why tons of podcasts get, you know, blow CNN out of the water on a subscriber or viewer basis. You know, they're tired of the same old cookie cutter bullshit where nobody gets to talk and say what they want to say. And
sure.
Have you found that that's a problem making videos now as opposed to 10 years ago with all the sensitivity out there? And
what do you mean, like, specifically?
Well, I mean, it seems like there's a,
like, banning every gun video,
right,
that's on freaking YouTube.
oh, I mean, what you mean, like, dealing with, like, political tides? I mean, is,
yeah,
that,
right,
like, you know, for me, like, our motto is guns, not politics. And the reason for that is there are a lot of guys that do guns and politics, a lot, right? I mean, in fact, I think if you take the average YouTube channel, GunTube channel, we'll call it, probably 85% of them do politics, 90% of them. There's nothing I think that I could add or do better than anybody else who's out there doing it already. So we're in this minority of maybe like 3 or 4 other YouTubers who I would say are accessible. And I call us a gateway drug, if you will, you know, where it's like we want to be, and I don't even want to talk too much about it, because if you start talking too much about it, then people are like, hold on a second, like, I'm watching some kind of, like, you know, closet neoconservative, right, brainwashing program. And it's not like that at all. I mean, I'm just trying to share my enthusiasm for the sport, for collecting, for guns with everyone. And I want the guy who is like, oh, I would never own a gun, not in this house, I want him to be like, I think I don't own a handgun. And I want the guy who's like, oh, I've got a handgun, but man, those assault rifles, those are bad news. I want him to be like, oh, you know, I think assault rifles are actually kind of cool. Right. Like, or an AR-15, there is, you know, like, watch my AR-15 for home defense video with Clint Smith. you know, and he's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Maybe I'll do. And then we want the guy that has a bunch of AR-15s and or whatever, plays video games. I mean, hell, send him over to Tim at Military Arms Channel or Hickok 45, and then now he's, you know, donating to FPC and GOA and NRA, whatever. So, I mean, that's, I don't care. I just want people to come into the sport. We need more people on our side. And, you know, one way to not do that is to get on and be like, yeah, you know, first of all, welcome to TFB TV. Second of all, RIP Dale. Third, if you don't like it, you can get out, you know, and right. Like, you know, a bunch of like political rhetoric on the front end. And so we just don't do it. And, you know, I'm very proud of the people who do.
It seems to be working. I mean, we try not to do it either, you know.
Well, you know, and I also try to get people. My wife's an environmental plaintiff's lawyer, right? So I also try to get people within.
God, y'all are both lawyers?
Yeah, man.
How are arguments
in
that
house?
Oh, dude,
yeah, I know. That's the first
question
everybody
has. Does anybody win?
No. And holy, it's a miracle shit. When the police don't get called. But yeah, I mean, and on the other hand, like, I also want to try to get people in the gun community to be more open-minded and not discard somebody like, oh, you're a Joe Biden voter. Like, I'm not going to talk to you. You know, separate that. Divorce that. We need to divorce politics from firearms for purposes.
From everything.
Yeah, I mean, because...
I hate you because you believe something different than I do. I just don't get that.
When I was in law school, people were like, oh, James owns guns. He must be one of those crazy, super Republican
right.
people. It's like, I'm as moderate as it gets, dude. Like, I mean, I don't like talking about this very much, but I'm a registered Republican. I always have been. But I am as moderate as it gets. I truly am. And, you know, people always make these assumptions because they have this identity of guns qua conservatism. Mm-hmm. Like, if you own guns, you must be a Trumper. You must be a conservative. And it's not the case.
But a hillbilly.
Right. Man. I am a hillbilly. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. I am a hillbilly. So, you know, fair point. But that said, you know, my goal is really to try to get people to think about guns as a separate issue that has value to all of us, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives. Like, there's something here for you, I promise. Just get over that cognitive dissonance that you have thinking that everyone who owns a gun is a Trumper, or everyone who owns a gun is a Trumper who hates you, you know, or is your enemy. So we kind of need to get rid of the polemics. And I think we could do better in terms of being ambassadors to people outside of the community to bring them in, because, I mean, we're right there, right?
Yeah, that's right there. Like, one of the things we tried to do after we had that incident here in February was turn it around into a, you know, we all questioned what we carried, you know, like, what's enough to take somebody right. down or something like that. And didn't try to make it like, fuck everybody, you know.
Sure.
You know, a negative side to it.
Yeah. I mean, we are on the cusp of greatness here, right? I mean, we got all these people who they saw civil disruption, COVID, supply shortage, and there are people like, oh, shit, maybe I should have a gun. Maybe that's not a bad idea. You know, police budgets being cut. And it's like, okay, all right, welcome to the club, buddy. Yeah. Yeah, you know, you voted for such and such candidate, you know, in 2000.
Oh, that demographic has definitely changed.
Yeah, and when they walk in, they'll say, you know, I'm Democratic. I don't have any guns. I'm like, what does that have to do with it?
Yeah, but and it's time to separate that issue, and it's time for them to not be afraid, you know, because that's I right. feel like you got a lot of closet gun owners right now. You know, people are
oh my God.
You know, like, I'm a liberal, but, you know, I'm worried I'm going to get thrown out of the liberal club or the Pussy Hatters club
exactly.
or whatever if they find out I've got a Glock 19. And it's like, no, man, like, let's separate those issues. So,
right.
And there are a lot of people out there, more than we know, who just bought guns.
I don't judge people by the kind of hammer they buy.
Yeah. What? Yeah, sure.
Same
well,
shit.
I mean, yeah. I mean, look, if you buy a Taurus, I will judge you. I just flat out say that.
I love my closet. I got all sorts of shit in that closet.
Is that why you haven't come out of it?
We're talking about
yes.
guns. We're talking about guns, Devin. Stay on guns.
No. It's time to go to the closet.
This is his therapy. He's got to get it out.
But we'll retire politics. That's the most I've talked about politics cumulatively in the entire history of my being on the fire.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to talk about it too much either. Do you think, though, that the country's at a point where
being able to own a gun is going to change?
You mean like in the regulation?
In the present way that we know it.
I mean, look, it always has, it always will. Like, it depends on the administration. There's always going to be some form of an obstacle. So, I mean, look at 1994 to 2004, right? You know, you had a 10-year assault weapons ban. And it's almost like people have forgotten about that. You know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'd go, go to the Capitol, march on the Capitol, like, with my guns if they do this and this thing. And it's like, dude, they did something much worse. Not that long ago. I mean, I remember going to in Tallahassee, going to a gun show the first time when it was like the floodgates were open and you could buy magazines that held more than 10 rounds. And everybody was after the ones that said like restricted law enforcement only. Oh, dude, I still have a bunch. I don't know why. I still get a little bit of a boner about them. But, you know, it's like, but you know, that said, it's like, you know, there's always going to be the ebb and the flow, but that's also why it's important to get more people. I want, you know, again, another LBJ quote, I'd rather have them in the tent pissing out than out the tent pissing in. I want more people in the piss tent, you know, get in the gun piss tent and, you know, like, welcome to the club.
We need to piss and shit in my bathtub, not but a few months ago.
I'm not following, but I like it. I like the energy.
He has a young daughter.
you don't need it. It might have been her. It might have been me.
Who likes spinach?
My family comes over. We only have one bathroom. Do you, is your wife a gun enthusiast?
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah. So, yeah. Lindsay is, I mean, obviously she doesn't get to the range as much as I do, but you know.
You have kids?
No, we're not going to. So
how did you manage that?
To not have kids?
Well, I mean, I know how
fancy
you
birth control. There's a pulling process. Out is what it's called.
But I mean, did she not want to have kids?
I mean, we were both kind of like, you know, we were both ambivalent about it. But then the thing is, it's like, you know, I've told you, Devin, we talked about this where it's like, man, I'm at my desk 50 hours a week as a lawyer. And then I run a YouTube channel on the back end that I spend a lot of time on. We have other obligations. I've passed the Louisiana bar and the Florida bar. I'm about to take the Mississippi bar in February. My wife and I travel a ton.
Have y'all seen each other naked?
Yeah, right? I know. No, the good news is she looks great. And that's another, you know, staying fit. Like, we're both into fitness. And we're both into, you know, again, traveling. Traveling with my wife is one of my most favorite things in the world. So we realized that something had to give. Like, that means either, like, I don't want Lindsay. It's unfair for me to say, hey, Lindsay, give up your career because right. She loves her job. Give up your career so we can have kids. She would say, fuck you. Why don't you give up something? Mm-hmm. And but that's how marriages should work, right? You know, it's a compromise. And it's like you say, you know, you're going to do this. I'm going to do this. You know, fuck it. Like, I'll have cats, dude. I don't even have to pick up their shit.
So neither one of you have wanted to have kids?
No, we do. But it's just, it wouldn't be fair to ourselves or the other person or the kid. Somebody's going to get fucked. Right. Mm-hmm. In that, I mean, literally and figuratively, not the kid. Right. Oh, God. What did I say? Somebody give me another beer.
You want another?
Yeah.
See, I mean, I worry so much about. See, my wife now wants to have a second kid, which ain't happening, son. But even for the first, you know, I have a daughter and I'm fucking terrified.
Oh, dude, I'm terrified that you have a daughter.
I know. She's in so much trouble.
It's just...
But, I mean, the way that the world's going, not even to have anything to do with guns, just the way that, I mean, you're a lawyer, the shit that you see every day.
Well, not only...
And I think it's getting worse.
Not only
better.
Society at large, but bear in mind, when... I mean, you're younger than me, I'm sure, but when I was in college, there were 6 billion people on the planet. Now, as we sit here today, there are 8. I mean, dude, that's wild. Think about that. You go from... And fact check me on that.
It's a lot of fucking.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And that isn't shit that I just pulled off, like, Facebook or whatever. I mean, that is an actual fact. I mean, you can look that up. Back in 2000, there were 6,000 people.
Well, there's...
Or 6
well,
billion,
make
and
that
now there's...
Comment. I was going to say, it's a little bit less now. But.
Yeah, sure, right. Now, I read you. But that's the way it works. I mean, that's the way it works. So, you know, but that said, yeah, I think that's the other thing is I am pessimistic about the future. And I'm not sure that I would want to subject.
That was my main concern, and still is.
Seeing my daughter's 21 and is out in the world.
I'm just fucking terrified.
For a partial part at the moment. But she's, I worry about her too, being out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but then you also think about, you have to try to be, and I do try to be optimistic at times, but, you know, you think about what maybe our parents said. They're like, oh, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, mm-hmm. that goddamn communism, it's spreading like the clap. And, you know, like whatever the case, everybody's got a crisis. And, you know, eventually, I think one of them is going to be real, right?
Do you think you'll see it in your lifetime?
Maybe. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, is now I did read some news about like the children per family. Like that number actually has been steadily decreasing. Mm-hmm. That was like something I just read on the flight home yesterday, which I thought was kind of an interesting thing. But assuming we're going from 6 billion to 8 billion in like 20 years, and if we go from 8 billion to 10 billion, I mean, we're going to be having like the calorie wars.
They say we're going to top out at 12, but I don't even know how they come up with that number.
I'm sure that there's somebody like some Malthusian.
You know Jordan Peterson?
No.
You're familiar with him?
No. I mean, it sounds like a very generic name. Super, I thought he was a porn
super
star.
Super cool. Now, he's a, I don't know what he would call himself. He's a psychotherapist, I guess. He got in a lot of trouble with the gender debate in Canada, mm-hmm. and he kind of went viral. But he, super smart dude, but he mm-hmm. seems to think that he's pretty pessimistic. He's pretty, and he's a smarter, much smarter guy than I am. So well, I'm terrified about that. That's one of the reasons why I like guns
it's
so
a short
much.
Jump.
Well, I mean, look at Nostradamus. I mean, you know, he was probably smarter than us, but, and, you know, he thought. Yeah.
The Mayans fucked me. Did they get you?
Yeah.
Did they? They really did. I'm not joking. Mm. I had a bunch of fucking freeze-dried shit that I would never eat in 2012. They got me.
Oh, my God. Mayans.
They did.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Devin.
Oh, yeah.
Devin.
2012?
Oh, yeah. My God.
I didn't get it by 2000. I didn't, for some reason. It didn't
so,
get
there,
it.
Hold on. Let me get this straight.
The Mayan calendar
no,
thing?
No, no, no. You're not fucking with me. No. You believe that there was like some sort of predetermined apocalypse from people mm-hmm. who used to wipe their ass with their hands.
Yep.
Okay. Just checking.
That's why
I wasn't sure. It wasn't quite clear.
That's exactly right. I don't know. And now looking back on it, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of fucking idiot. Yes. But, at least we can sit here.
I had some extra freeze-dried shit and a noose if things got too bad. But but no, nothing happened. So fucking Mayans.
Yeah, they thought it was going to end for Y2K also.
I didn't get that
exactly.
one.
That's, no, there's a doomsday prediction du jour mm-hmm. every few years.
But your gun advocacy doesn't tie in any kind of civil unrest or anything that you see coming?
No. I mean, like, my gun... I mean, again, like, it depends. I'm very discreet, right? I've got a subtle delivery when it comes to...
The guy's wearing a fucking tuxedo.
Yeah, right?
Right?
No, I know.
In the worst room in Louisiana to be in at the moment.
No, I know. So look, there are a lot of people who interpret what I put out there differently, right? And that's the way I like it. I mean, it's in a way is deliberately vague. Like there is no message, right? I think if you watch my content, you see that I care a lot about concealed handguns. You know, because that for me, like I see that, and that's, you know, I am, by the way, and this is my plug for U.S. Law Shield. I'm the U.S. Law Shield program attorney for Louisiana. So if somebody...
And I know that.
How do you know that?
Because I'm very... I'm kind of friends with Lana.
Oh, Lana's fantastic.
She is. She's great. Lana. I love her, too.
But
you brought the book in with the...
Yeah, so I showed him. I was like, see? I wanted him a long time ago.
I wrote the book. Yeah, Armed and Educated.
Yeah, I have
Louisiana
it.
Gun Law. So, yeah, and of all people, you know... and. I don't want to speak about rival gun ranges, but of all people, Brandon LaBeouf, who can find a flaw in just about anything. I saw that, Paul. who can find a flaw in just about anything was like, dude, this is the best book like I've ever seen on this subject. Everybody should be forced to buy one of these when they take a concealed handgun class. So like, I feel passionately about that. I feel passionately about the law. And I'm the U.S. Law Shield program attorney. If somebody shoots somebody in Louisiana and they're a U.S. Law Shield member, They call me, it goes to me. We just had one. Yeah.
Well, how many fucking phone calls do you get every day?
I mean, it depends what you
mean.
They
call you?
Yes. Well, like if it's an emergency, it goes directly to my cell phone. If it's an emergency. Now, what'll happen is I'll see the emergency line light up, and somebody will be like, hey.
Holy fuck, he's dead.
No, they'll be like, well.
James, where are you?
No, it'll be like, yeah, I didn't get my newsletter this month. And I'm like, sir, is this an emergency? He's like, oh, my, I didn't see that the huge red number here on the card that says emergency. Yeah, I thought that was. And, you know, so probably 75% of the calls I get on the emergency line are people with non-emergencies. But, you know, it's like I'm
calling
there,
911 for pizza.
I'm watching the game. And if you looked up the news, you would probably figure out what this was, but I'm not going to name any names, but it's like
we name names.
I'm watching the news, I'm watching the game, the Saints game, in New Hampshire.
Why do you do that
this
yourself?
Past weekend? I love the Saints, dude. I've been a season ticket holder for 6 years now, but
nice.
And Saints family. But in any event, I'm sitting there watching the game. I get a phone call on the emergency line. I'm at the Sea Dog Brewery in New Hampshire. And I'm like, Linz, it's probably somebody, you know, give me a second. It's probably somebody who's like, you know, they're lost. You know, they need, they can't figure out if they have reciprocity in Texas or something like that. So it's like, you know, I pick up the phone and it's like, you know, this woman, she's like, oh, yeah, my husband just killed someone. I'm like, okay, this one's going to be like a little bit more intensive. So those calls I get once a month, at maybe once every 6 weeks. You know, I'm very proud of the fact that now it's only been U.S. All Shields only been here for about 2 years, but I'm very proud of the fact that so far no one convicted of a felony under my watch and no one copying to a felony under my watch. That's about to change. We've got some pretty bad ones that came through, but at least for the first 2 years, everybody was either getting off scot-free or misdemeanors. So, you know, if you were an early adopter of U.S. Law Shield, you had a good run for 2 years. But yeah, most of the time it's just people that call in the non-emergency line and they're like, hey, James, like a big one I get is how do I, you know, carrying a gun in a casino? Like, tell me about carrying a gun in a casino. That's a big one. How do I drive through Louisiana with my gun? I'll get a Florida member or a Mississippi member calling about driving to Texas or vice versa. How do I drive through? What do I need to do? What happens if a cop approaches? Stuff like that. So I get those every day, 2-3 of those every day. But the emergencies are about once every 6 weeks right now.
That's crazy. Well, I know we're having an event here coming up in November.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm excited. Right.
I know. I'm excited,
we'll talk
too.
About that later.
Yeah.
Unless y'all want to talk about it now.
Have you, we can talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. So it's November 16th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. here at the range.
What is it?
Yes.
Clothing
is optional.
Any event I do. No, it's, no, and I'm not joking around where I try to say I try to scare the audience shitless because here's the thing is people don't understand that you can beat the charge, but you can't beat the ride. And there are so many, I mean, I just literally, man, I'm on the phone with my guy from this weekend on the way to the range here. And that's part of the reason why I was 6 minutes late. But you have people who are terrified. You know, they may have been lawfully defending themselves, but you have a cop, you know, who says like, hey, look, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to let the court figure this out. Like, I'm going to book you for murder and you're going to spend the night in jail. Your bond's going to be set somewhere between $500,000 and
$750,000. Shitty food.
Right. Milk. I mean, the TV's okay. Milk. I've been to jail once and it was, you know,
TV some, was good.
Yeah. Good Jerry Springer and grape Kool-Aid. But, you know, some of these guys, but that's what happens is like, you know, we have people who, some of them will have bond coverage or some of them will have the means. They'll have the means to get bonded out, but many of them don't. And at that point, like if it's murder, you know, you better pick up checkers, man, because like you might be in there for a minute. And it, whether or not you rightfully defended yourself, people call you every day. They don't understand like you being in jail, that's a huge priority for you. I get it. Like that is your number one priority right now. For everyone else other than me, as your lawyer, that's an extremely low priority. So it's like you'll call in, somebody killed somebody 72 hours ago, and you'll call the clerk of court, and they'll be like, who? You know, no, he's not even in the system yet. You know, it's like, and there's nothing you can do. So
do not leave me in there.
So no, that's what happens. You get your, you, I mean, you may or may not have
with a fucking file on it.
No, you may or may not have like your initial appearance where your bond will be set, and your bond will be set at some massive amount of money, and then you'll just sit there and stew in jail until somebody bails you out, and hopefully, you know, we can do something for you. But that is the point of this is to educate people. Like, there is a lot of gray area, because what happens is you go to the concealed handgun courses and you're like, this is legal, this is illegal. And if you do things that are legal, you're not going to get in trouble. And that's not necessarily true, right? Because 90% of the people that I get on the emergency line are people who would, I mean, every now and then you'll find somebody who it's like, hey man, like maybe, you know, you had your foot a little bit too much on the gas pedal, but you still defended yourself lawfully. That was still lawful self-defense. We get that a lot. But that said, they're still going to be put through the process. You're still going to go to jail. You're still going to need to get bailed out. And people need to realize that that can be, it's bad.
You know? Process.
It's a and it's just the fear and like having to talk to mothers, having to talk to wives, having to talk to children. Daddy's in jail. He wants to be home by Christmas. And you've got to tell him, like, guys, no, like, I'm hoping we can get an initial hearing before Christmas. So, you know, it's a tough job. But I mean, that's the point of like my seminar. I go in there and I try to educate people. We look at actual cases. We talk about actual cases. We talk about, and I pull the audience and I say, hey, look, you're the jury, guilty or not guilty. And I tell everybody there's no wrong answer, because any of you could have been in the jury with this same set of facts. But you look around the room. Like, if these guys were in the jury, you'd be in prison for life. No chance of parole. You know, second degree murder, you'd be in chance for life. No parole, no nothing. Like, you're in there your entire life. But if that half of the room's in the jury, you get off scot-free. So it's a good exercise. And we do that over and over. We look at different cases, different sets of facts. I ask people guilty, not guilty. I ask people to kind of tell me about it. That's what I do. I'm going to stop talking about it now. I went really long. In case you guys can't tell, I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah, so, no, it's good. No, which I think is another reason why you're successful in a lot of the stuff you do.
Well, thanks, Devin.
That's why I like to talk to people that are... We have... all of our guests are usually hyper-focused on something. You got a lot of stuff going on. It seems like you're doing it really well, which is why I wanted to talk to you, too.
Well,
I mean, like to see how people's brains work when they got a lot of, you know, balls in the air.
Yeah, and it's real. It's natural. It's not fake.
Right. Well, There's no fucking commercial coming on about Viagra after this, and I don't have to read the notes about what we got to go over.
And, you know, people think it's funny. They're like, you tell them, like, you're a lawyer, and, you know, it isn't like the first point of conversation, but every now and then it'll come up, especially, like, I'll have other lawyers that are like, hey, man, great video the other week, you know, that watch the channel, which is funny.
I don't know why I didn't make the connection sooner, but 2 years ago, I was at SHOT Show, and somebody in front of me walking, you were walking on a bridge.
One of the pedestrian bridges.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Towards me, and I was with the guy that used to work here. And right before he said it, somebody in front of me said, hey, that's Jay from the YouTube that you do, James Reeves. And as soon as he said that, the guy I was walking with said, yeah, it's James Reeves from, I said, yeah, man, that guy from Shooters Club. Yeah. What's, and then, you know, I started watching your videos.
No, that's funny. No, I remember that. I was walking
from. So I think a lot of people that that you might not even realize that don't subscribe. I think a lot of people listen to your content and like to hear what you have to say.
Well, I mean, I can't give up lawyering. I can't give up YouTube. And everybody, if you tell people on YouTube that you're a lawyer, they assume you're a shitty lawyer. If you tell anyone who's a lawyer that you do YouTube, they assume you're a shitty YouTuber. So I'm all in on everything. Oh, because, I mean, it's insanity. I mean, I talked to you about my schedule.
Can't do more than one thing.
Yeah, it's insanity. I mean, it's like, I mean, here I am. So I got up at 6 o'clock this morning, as I always do. I went to the gym. I got to my desk by 8 o'clock. I was there for almost 10 hours. Went back to my house, packed my shit up, came out here, shot guns with Ryan, shot video, and I haven't even cleaned my shit up yet, and I'm up here talking to you, and I'm hoping to be in bed before 11 o'clock tonight to repeat everything.
Yeah, I know we're on a, I'm glad you brought that up. I know we're on a clock here. So we like to end with a few things. We're going to let Paul, we got some emails. We're going to pick a few of the emails. We're going to let Paul read you some emails that we got for you. We told people that you were coming on.
Oh, no.
Give me some good ones, Paul. And if, you know, if you don't want to answer one, just say fuck off and we'll go to the next one.
So, we'll see. Mark sent one. If you could only keep one pistol, rifle, and shotgun, what would they be?
Oh, God. Oh, God, I hate this question.
Fuck you, Mark.
Yeah, yeah.
You
sack of shit.
Dang it. Well, I mean, okay, how about this?
What an asshole, huh?
I know. Yeah. Okay, next. No, rifle's pretty easy. It would have to be a 16-inch AR-15. Right now, my favorite one, I've got like a complete BCM. I don't really dick with stuff. Like, I'm not one of those, oh, it needs the super custom hot rod trigger. I mean, it's a, I've got a BCM that's got a Surefire Scout Light on it and a SIG Tango 6T.
Aren't they awesome?
Yeah, they're fantastic.
I have a BCM Recce.
Yeah, love them.
It's awesome.
Love them. So it's like, that would be my go-to because you can handle just about anything that you need to handle where we live. And that's the thing. Your consideration is your immediate environment, mm-hmm. right? So for me, like a 16, anything from 12.5 to 16 in an AR platform, good to go, right? So that would be an easy one. Shotgun, normally I would be like, oh, yeah, my 870 SBS that I loved and I've had forever and ever.
I'm no. thinking you're going Beretta.
1301, best shotgun I've ever shot. I've got an M4. Like I've gotten, yeah, it's almost as if you've seen my opinion before in a moving Don't picture, you, perhaps you, on the internet. No, the Beretta 1301 has to have been one of the, and it's so funny because, I mean, I'm not the first guy to come to this conclusion. There are better shotgun guys than me out there who I watch their content. Shit, like, you know, and then I go to Thunder Ranch and Jack Daniel, who's like one of the best instructors in the United States. Jack is like, oh, Beretta 1301 is, he's like, that's one you need to get. And I was like, son of a bitch, you know, like, this is the one to get. So that would be my shotgun. Pistol, I mean, you have to go Glock 19, not because they sponsor the channel, but no, and truly, that's a funny story that I'm not going to spend too
Everybody
much time
carries
on.
A Glock.
It's yeah, but I mean, three. No, I mean, I think they're fantastic.
That's the only thing I would carry.
And people call me, like, they for years called me a Glock shill. Like, one of my first videos.
I used to hate Glock at Shooter's Club, yeah, and those motherfuckers would never break.
They would
never
break.
Send a Glock back for repair at Shooter's Club.
But it's funny because people are like, Glock shill, Glock shill, Glock shill. I got called up by Glock to Smyrna. And Josh Dorsey, who there's no way he's listening to this. Josh,
thank you.
I know. Josh Dorsey, president of Glock USA, says, yeah, we called you up. I thought I was getting a factory tour. He's like, yeah, we called you up here. And he's flipping over pieces of paper. He's like, what made you call the SIG P365 the best handgun of SHOT Show 2018? How much are they paying you? And I'm like, dude, they're not paying me shit. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, they're not paying me shit. Like, I mean, that was just, believe it or not, my actual opinion. And so it's been actual opinion for years and years.
So if we pay you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the funny thing about it is, like, Glock, they didn't pay me for years. I love, like, Glock 43X, one of my most favorite handguns, possibly of all time. And I've said that for years and years and years. So finally, like, this past summer, Glock is like, we will sponsor you. And I don't handle the money. Like, the money doesn't go to me. Patreon money doesn't go to me. I mean, a portion of it does, just like it does to everybody, like Ryan, and, you know, to support the channel. But I don't know how much a sponsorship costs for TFB TV at all. But they apparently contacted, like, our marketing company, and they're like, we will sponsor James for 1 month. And it was like years and years and years of quote-unquote shilling, you know, for Glock in there. But that's cool. You know, that's fine. And I almost, they were like, James, are you cool with this? Because, like, I worry about my appearance, like the appearance of impropriety, or like I'm taking money to say that this thing is good. But I've got such a long track record of being Gaston Glock's illegitimate child that it's like, I didn't care. I was like, screw it. I think it would be awesome for Glock to sponsor the channel.
Do you know what Glock made before they made firearms?
Yeah, toilet seats and
shower curtains.
Yeah,
and
curtain rods.
Yeah,
curtain rods.
Yeah, that's the 17 is the 17th patent. So, yeah.
All right, give me two more, Paul. We got to get out of here soon, and I got something else after that. Two more quick, easy ones.
Have you ever had to fight an animal to death, and did you win? So obviously you must have won if you ever did.
Yeah, right. I know. That's a
good... We don't have the brightest people.
You saw that dude that killed that fucking mountain lion in
Colorado? Yeah, I saw that. And you know, I'm a big outdoorsman, so I have, you know, I do pay close attention to that. I've probably encountered, and everybody's going to be like, bullshit. But I mean, if you go on my Instagram, you can see, like, I photograph bears. I like photographing bears. And so I've probably encountered 30 to 40 brown bears and black bears. And if you know what you're doing, you don't have to. I would hate, honestly, I know this is going to make me sound like a giant pussy, but it's like, dude, I would be crushed if I had to shoot. Like, I'm going to photograph brown bears, and it's like, hey, that's a cool bear. Let me take a picture of it. Now let me shoot it in the fucking face. You know, it's like that would be a tragedy. So, you know, I always try to stay educated on how to, and the science, the research is changing all the time where it's like, oh, bear spray works. And then they're like, oh, shit, bear spray actually doesn't work. And, it, you know, it goes back and forth. So I've done a bunch of videos on, like, bear defense. But fortunately, no, it's never come to that. I'm sure I've been attacked by a goose sometime. I got chased by a bull, a black bear that was probably 600 pounds, the biggest one I ever seen. On the Ho River Trail in Olympia National Park, and that was terrifying.
We watched a video of a girl who was snowboarding, and she had her camera out or her phone out on a selfie stick, and as she's snowboarding, just she got her headphones on and everything, and all of a sudden she pans this way, and there's a bear just barreling down on her.
Yeah, and I can't outrun a bear. Just to be clear, I mean, like, there was a curious black bear who was, you know, following my wife and I for probably about 250 yards. Mm. And then fortunately we ran into another, and that's the thing, numbers.
You're faster than your wife.
No. Yeah, I would never. I honestly would never. No, but so, yeah, there you go.
I would never.
Either. But yeah, I mean, look, like a Glock 20 with hard cast.
Yeah, that's what the Alaskan state troopers.
That's
do,
right. Man. And that supposedly should do bears. The trick.
All right, Paul, number three.
All right, last one. What is your favorite gun in your collection?
That's a fucking boring one. All right, what's your favorite
one? Or have you ever had sex on a plane? It's either that one.
No, that's a better one. Yeah, that is. No, surprisingly, like, I have not. I have.
Oh, goddamn.
I'm not against it. I mean, it's not one of those things. And my wife is a never nude. She would be, like, absolutely mortified if, you know, to even the implication. But, no, I mean, I don't have, like, a collection per se. I'm not a gun collector. Tour. I mean, I've got a lot of guns, but I shoot all of them. You know, I have a couple, like, Russian AKs that I've kept in the box, just, you know, not to open them, purely for investment.
Then you're a collector.
No. I think of, like, a collector, like, oh, this has sentimental value to me. Not like,
well, you had one.
You're an investor.
I mean, I have some pre-World War II, like, PPK, PPKSs.
Yeah. I mean, and that's cool shit, but I mean, I see collector differently than enthusiast or investor. If you're buying guns for the purpose of making money, then I see you as more an investor, not necessarily a collector.
I'm trying to get back to plane banging. Well, go back to that first one that we got. We got one about somebody wanted to know if he would ever sell something.
Yeah. So, sorry, I just closed it. It's a guy says you have a Sean in Metairie. Says you have a Zastava M90, serial number 2-7. Oh, 7?
I had number 2, but I borrowed that, but now I've got 007.
Because he wants to know, how much do you want for it? He's got cash, Daddy.
Oh, my God. Well, and then, see, that's the thing. I don't sell any of my guns, and the main reason for that is a lot of times, you know, like the guys at Zastava, like Renko at Zastava is like, James, you know, and I'm going to do, like, butcher his accent. I hope he doesn't listen to this either. And he's like, James, I want you to have Zastava M90 007. You know, and he sent me, I had 002 for testing and evaluation, but I sent that back to them. Ooh. 001 was at the factory. I sent
that might have had to been lost in shipping.
Yeah, right?
One of the best ones I had was I had a Colt SP1 serial number 198.
Ooh. Yeah, who sold you that, dickhead? You?
I got it on a police trade, and it was only like $400.
Yeah, but I got a nice deal. I passed it along. This fucker buys a house with it.
Oh my God! Well, hey, yeah, whatever. You set yourself up for it. But I mean, you know, it's, I get stuff like Samson sent me the Mini 14, the folding stock, like the A-Team folding stock, when they did, I have serial number one of that. Dead Air sent me the serial number one of the Primal. And it isn't the object that means so much to me, it's the gesture. Right. And like the fact that people would do that to me and the trust that they have in me.
Well, they can gesture the shit out of me.
Man, my goodie bag is going to look like shit now. You should have kept that to yourself.
It's the gesture, okay. Like I said. Yeah. I mean, well,
it's a bunch of plastic fucking martini glasses. All right, so quick fire round. We do this with a lot of our more important guests. I want short answers.
Okay.
What's the last book you read?
Oh, I haven't read in years.
No, books?
Not enough time. I mean, 1776 for Audible.
Okay.
1776.
If you have to have dinner with one person, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, fuck. Either Eugene Stoner or Frank Sinatra.
God, that's a good answer. Maybe. Why Frank?
Oh, just, I mean, it was the, like, first thing that popped top of my head. It was probably because I'm wearing a tuxedo.
That's right.
If I wasn't wearing a tuxedo, it'd be something. I mean, Elvis, that'd be pretty fucking cool, right?
If you knew you were going to die in 24 to 48 hours, where you live?
God, dude, how is that supposed to be a short answer?
Right.
I would give you a detailed itinerary.
Well, I mean, I would just say die, but I mean, you're smarter than I would, so.
No, dude, I'm not even sure.
I would binge Game of Thrones probably with my old lady.
Oh, my God. No, I would, let's just say, like, I would do something I would hope would be unfathomable.
You can only make one YouTube video. What would it be? The next one. Last one.
Oh, the last one before I die?
You have one more YouTube video to make before you're no longer allowed on YouTube. What would the subject matter be?
I think that would be, like, my first political video. Like, if that's the last one, that's where I would just lay it all out and be like, you want to know everything? Here it is. I would just say everything I ever wanted to say as a way of expressing my appreciation for the viewers.
If you could be the inventor of any object, firearm, of anything, what would you have liked to invented that has already been invented?
I'm pretty sure I would call it the stock it pussy. It's like a pocket pussy.
Right. Do you have
but
one
an AR-15 stock.
Man. How much is that?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God damn it.
I'm kidding.
This motherfucker.
Well, they actually came out with one called the Finisher or something like that, or the Matt Best. I don't know if you ever watch his video. They did the Ultimate Finish is what it was called. And it was a rail attachment where you attached to the front of the AR rail and went down to that so you can shoot. Have both
while you
shoot
fuck and, your AR?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
I had a question in my head too. Now that you're banging your AR, God, I guess it'll do it all.
I would want to invent. How about this? I'd want to invent a machine that, like, not ultrasonic, because that like tears apart aluminum or whatever. I mean, I would want to invent like a machine that's like the ultrasonic machine that doesn't fuck up guns. Like literally, you put it in there and doesn't give you cancer or whatever. You just put it in there and your gun comes out clean, like magically clean and dry, like and or lubed up or whatever the case may be. Like 30 minutes. That would be. Exactly. Yeah, the little bing. Yeah, no, dude, I would love that so much. Like it would save so much time, like having to clean your guns if you could just put it in a machine and cut it on, and that son of a bitch kicks it out. Pristine. I
see the
that.
Commercial already, like an old 50s commercial, and the woman takes it out.
Yeah.
If you could go back in time with the sole purpose of killing one individual, who would you choose?
Dang it. I mean, you know, everybody always picks, like, Hitler's the obvious one, but I mean...
See, I don't think you'd go with Hitler. I think
I wouldn't either. No, I wouldn't. Probably Mikhail Kalashnikov, just because I...
Rosie O'Donnell.
How about this?
fucking Rosie, don't fucking hammer me.
How about this? I feel the same way about AK people, like how I feel about parrot heads, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with Jimmy Buffett. I've got a problem with Jimmy Buffett fans.
I agree.
That's all I'm going to say. You can do the math. And fortunately, if I don't elaborate any further, AK people won't figure it out.
You got a question for James?
Do you see ghosts?
No, ghosts are, no, ghosts are bullshit.
Come on,
no. Okay, no, no, no. Hold on a second. We got fucking. We got the Mayan prepper over here, and now we got the ghost lady.
You don't have
any. You have the ghost lady.
You don't have any. Before None. We before we stop, because I like to get into this just a little bit. I know we're running on borrowed time. Do you have any anything like that you have second thought, like moon landing conspiracy,
ancient
aliens, ghosts? You have anything like that?
I think just about everything in reality can be questioned to some extent. I never think that anything is a 100% absolute.
So you've never
truth.
Seen something that you can't explain. You've never, you know, in the sky, you've never seen
oh, dude, there's a lot of nothing? Shit that I can't explain, but it's just because I'm a fucking idiot. I mean, like, I've seen a lot of stuff. I can't explain magnets. I don't know. Like,
yeah, they are tricky. I can't explain magnets either. But there's nothing that that sticks out as like a conspiracy type.
No, I mean, I got to tell you, like, of stuff that I've read, anytime I see something on the news and they're like, oh, this is what happened.
You know, 9-11,
like, this guy,
Tower 7,
Yeah,
did Epstein kill himself?
How about that? How about that? Of all the pet conspiracies, that one's probably my favorite. I think that one's probably there's none that to me is so.
Does my daughter shit in the tub?
Yeah. I mean, there's.
Did Epstein kill himself?
There's no conspiracy theory or, like, fringe theory to me that is so probable that I lend any credence to it, but I never dismiss it out of hand either. So I think that, you know,
God, you're an attorney.
Well, no. I mean, but that's the way, and I wish more attorneys were like that, because you have absolutists. You have people who are like, it is this way, and my client is right, and your client is wrong. It's like, okay, man, please, we've done this enough. Like, you can get in front of a jury, and that jury thinks that your client's wrong, and this jury. So stop acting like it's an absolute truth.
Rana.
Yeah, dude, great movie. Great, mandatory for all lawyers. But I mean, it's nothing is an absolute truth. And, or, you know, I'm sure 2 + 2 = 4, math maybe. You know, but I don't believe in absolute truths, just like I don't go all in on conspiracy theories either, you know? Mm-hmm. So I try to give everyone their perspective, and I try to take it all in, and I try to be as unbiased as possible. But, you know, I'm not a blind follower very much.
Mm-hmm. You got anything else?
No.
Ginger?
No, I was... Ghost Keeper's good.
I'm sorry about that, Ginger.
No, don't be sorry. I know what I see. They don't.
He saw something
but
up
I
here.
Do.
We'll go into
that
later.
Take that
I
back. Did. Yes, you
we'll
did.
We'll go into that later on the next one. James, I know you got to get out of here. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed having you at the other store before you can probably even remember us.
Oh,
meeting.
I can remember.
But I'm super stoked that you're doing good on YouTube. I think you're a really nice guy. I think you do a lot for the industry. And I hope to see you a lot more often.
Thanks, Devin. I mean, no shit, no joking. That means a lot to me. Yeah. And thank you guys for having me. Like, I had a blast.
Thanks
always
for making the time.
Oh, no. I always like doing these. You know, it's like any time I can talk to great people in the industry and, like, make these connections, it's cool.
This is why we
sorry to be
this,
sappy.
This is why we built this room.
Yeah, this is awesome. I mean, now, I don't want to be like an armchair quarterback, but I mean, if you had 4 working microphones, I think
that would be very, very good.
It would be helpful. I'm just saying.
I can only
shit just
so
seems
much.
To break after it sits for a while. I don't understand it.
They were up
it's
here
a goddamn ghost.
Yeah, we'll work on the mics. I appreciate it. But again, man, I really appreciate you coming. I hope to see you a lot more soon and keep making videos. I think a lot of people get a lot out of them, including myself. So it's been
thanks
a pleasure.
Thanks a ton, guys.
All right, guys. Awesome. Tune in. Make sure take us out with our giveaways because you know more about that shit than
I do. All right. Go. You can go to the number 2shotsinpodcast.com and register on the website. Or if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, just make sure you subscribe publicly so that we can see that you've subscribed when we do the drawing for the Ruger Wrangler pistol.
YouTube channel on YouTube.
And then if you send us an
email. Oh, yeah, and our YouTube channel is the number 2 Shots In Podcast.
Yes.
And then one more thing I forgot to give you. So we got you a goodie bag.
Okay. All right. Thank
you.
A little shot glass.
We got you a little hat.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, dude. I don't look at this. You're look at these locks. You think I hide this hair with a hat?
You're officially.
You ever seen it?
I know. You got a fucking massive, beautiful head.
I'm
of
part
hair.
Of the poo poo crew.
Pew pew crew.
Oh, pew pew.
You fucking asshole. And then we got you our new.
No, he was right.
Then we got you our new, fresh.
That better be athletic
from
fit.
Retro Rifle Company. Our new uniform. So you're officially.
I'm gonna pretend like I love it right now, and then I'm gonna take it. Then
you
I'm
can
gonna
get
take
it fitted. You can get it fitted.
Yeah, I'm gonna take it to TNA Tailors.
And
I'm gonna get this athletic fit.
All right, James. Again, another sign off. Thank you, brother.
Guys.
I really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Later.